Hey, this is Todd Herman, host of the Todd Herman Show. They call me the Emerald City Exile. This is the second former high-ranking military official we've had on the program to say some pretty disturbing things. And I want to remind everybody, we get to speak our minds. The fact that we know this is cause for celebration. Check out the Todd Herman Show every day on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Missed you guys yesterday.
My gorgeous brown backdrop.
It's a little dark.
So brown.
But it is what it is.
Yep. Hello, everybody. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
We picked a bad day to be off just because it was the day after the Georgia election, which we'll obviously get to in just a moment because it's still the talk of the town.
Yeah.
But first, I thought what might be fun today is for me to show you guys. I know we've talked about heat holders and what a great stocking stuffer heat holder socks and their other stuff are. But I wanted to show you the gloves because I have a couple pairs of their gloves.
Ugh,
this is what their gloves look like. I wanted to show you guys the insides because look at the firm, soft, warm, fuzzy goodness of the insides of these gloves. These are, this is one of my favorite things. The hats and the gloves and of course the socks from Heat Holders are amazing. And I say this as a mom who sits outside in March and April watching lacrosse in Indiana. So I'm telling you, it's freezing and these work amazing. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. I kind of need them here. I need them here. As I pulled into Indiana yesterday, I was like, this is why I moved to Texas.
It's 50 degrees here.
It's cold. That's cold. I should have brought all my heat holder. I didn't bring any of my heat holder stuff, and I should have brought all the things. I'm going to be borrowing all of your heat holder stuff when I get to your house tonight.
You can. Yeah. You guys, it's going to be fun tonight because we're going to be, well, it's going to be fun. It's going to be good times here at the Weaver household this evening and tomorrow morning because we'll be together here doing our show for you all tomorrow morning. But anyway, if you still need stocking stuffers or if you just need to get yourself prepared for winter, they've got the long johns, they've got the amazing socks, all the great stuff from Heat Holders. Just go to heatholders.com. And if you enter the code CHICKS, you're going to save 15%. Plus you get free shipping over on any order that's over $25. So it's a great deal, super easy way to just fill up everybody's stockings, heatholders.com.
Do it. And then go to our website too, chicksontheright.com.
Yes. You'll notice my name today, Ronna McDaniel, in honor of Ronna McDaniel, who needs to GTFO.
Bye, girl. Bye. Bye.
I mean, at this point, what does she have to show for herself? Seriously.
Nothing. She needs to go. Yeah, she seems bright. She seems really nice. She seems like a nice
lady. Very nice.
Yeah, but you need to go. It's time to pack it up. And like you said, GTFO. There are other people, like Harmeet, I think she wants the job, doesn't she?
She
Harmeet,
does.
Yeah, she needs to get in there. There are countless other people that could probably do a much better job at this point.
Well, Lee Zeldin has taken his name out of the running, but he released a big statement about it saying she's got to go, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to change course. It's so important. Nick Green, thank you. Yes, we can shout out your amazing mother, Janet Green, who watches every video that we put out.
Janet.
Hi, Janet. So thank you very much for that, Nick Green, and hello to Janet Green. So Harmeet is interested, and she actually said on Twitter that one of the very first things that she'll do is hire Scott Pressler. And I was like, thank you. Thank you, because that should have been done a long time ago. And Scott has said a million times, and if you don't know Scott Pressler, he is better at like whipping up votes all over the country than anybody else. He's amazing. You should be following him on Twitter. And he has said over and over again on Twitter, not a single person from the RNC has ever reached out to him. Not a single person, not a single time. And the fact that they are letting his talent go to waste is just more evidence of how useless the RNC is, how useless they've been. So they
I'm not shocked because they're just so establishment-y, you know? This is the thing. They're so set in their ways, and they do things just the way they've always done them. You know, and this is who they are as an organization. So not surprised at all. Yeah, we've got to change course.
We really have some work to do. Shelly says, welcome back to Indiana, Daisy.
Yeah, thank you.
Pastor Shelly.
Thank you. Hi, Shelly.
So after the loss, which you guys know that Monday I was like, you guys were going to lose. So, I mean, this was not a big surprise to me. But Christian Walker, Herschel Walker's son, like went on a Twitter tirade. And so I wanted to just share with you guys, if you haven't seen it, what he said, because it's an interesting kind of history of how this happened. And then the reasons that he thinks that his dad lost. So he said, the truth. Trump called my dad for months demanding, all caps, that he run. Everyone with a brain begged him, please don't do this. This is too dirty. You have an insane past. Please do not do this. We got the middle finger and he ran. Republicans, we say we don't play identity politics. And then you ran this man mainly because he was the same skin color as his opponent with no background other than football. A boring old Republican could have won. Don't beat women, hold guns to people's heads, fund abortions, and then pretend you're pro-life, stalk cheerleaders, leave your multiple minor children alone to chase more fame, lie, say stupid crap, and make a fool of your family, and then maybe you can win a Senate seat. Don't compare Warnock running over his wife's foot to my father holding guns and knives to my mother's throat, threatening to kill his therapist, her, and one of his adulteresses in a therapy session, and telling my mom and me he was going to beat our asses. Get off my page. He mad.
You think he's mad? You think
he's pretty mad?
Yeah, there's some family drama happening there this morning.
There's big drama.
Family things happening there. Okay. Dysfunction happening.
That was Christian's take. And mm-hmm. So obviously I was surprised. I thought, oh crap, you know, we're going to be off on the day that everybody's talking about this, but they're still talking about it. Like there's still so much, I guess, postmortem being done on this mm-hmm. whole race. So I thought, you know, we could share a few videos that talk about different angles of this. Because there's a lot of different angles. First of all, Mercedes Schlapp, a very well-known GOP strategist, was on talking about what the GOP needs to take away from this race. And here's what she said.
A huge discrepancy that's happening right now between the Democrats and Republicans. The Democrats are outraising Republican candidates. The Democrats have a much more organized get out the vote efforts, much more focused on the early voting and really driving the mail-in ballot process much more effectively than the Republicans. This is a wake-up call for the Republican Party, where in essence they failed to really have an effective get out the vote effort and really just play the Democrats at their game. And I think that this is something that has to be fixed right now.
No, it's something that had to be fixed years ago. It's not right. I mean, granted, we need to like get our asses in gear and fix it right now. But this is something that they probably should have been paying attention to years ago. My God. And not only that, but they're like, listen, we are complacent. I think people on our side, we've always talked about this for 14 years. We're way too polite. We wait till the message gets served up to us. We kind of sit back and we think, oh, it's all going to work out. It's going to be fine. And like, you know, I see people like even in comments and stuff like that. And it's just, we don't like conflict, you guys. Like a lot of us don't like conflict. We don't like conflict. We don't like bad news. We don't like to fight. We definitely don't like the street fights. That's just not our nature as Republicans, as conservatives. And it is theirs. And so they're just much better at this stuff than we are. And plus, you know, you add on the pop culture, getting the youth to get on board with them because they're so much better at social media and pop culture and just regular media in general. They're just so much better at all of those things. And they have an education. Don't even get me started on that because my God, they're like insidious and they've gotten entrenched into our educational system. Over the past 20, 30 years, they've had a stronghold on that and we haven't. So now we're behind the curve.
Yeah. We're absolutely behind.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's, again, another reason that Ronna needs to GTFO. It's time for somebody who actually knows that we are behind and knows what we have to do. Harmeet is such a fighter, too.
Right.
And she's an attorney. So, I mean, she's kind of got all aspects of the fight and the background to really start going full steam ahead on this. And that's what needs to happen. The question is, and I was telling Daisy before we got started today, before we went live, I was like, I'm going to be making an announcement about why I want Trump to be the nominee, which is going to shock everybody. But I'll tell you why I've changed my mind about this. And it's not for the reasons you think, so don't get too excited. But I saw someone tweeting, I don't even remember who it was. It was just like some random person on Twitter. Somebody was asking, who would you rather have as the 2024 GOP presidential nominee, DeSantis or Trump? It was just those two choices somebody was asking. And I was actually heartened. I was like going through the responses and almost universally, it was DeSantis that people were choosing. And then somebody said, and I was like, oh my God, this is exactly right. Somebody said, I want Trump to be the nominee in 2024 because we are so behind the early voting and the mail-in voting and the ballot harvesting ball that no GOP candidate is going to win in 2024. If DeSantis runs in 2024 and loses, which he will because we are behind the eight ball, he may ruin his chances in 2028 just by going through a primary, right? Or going through a general. If Trump runs in 2020, and we already know he is, he's going to lose because anybody, any GOP candidate is going to lose. And then DeSantis will still have his moment in 2028. And so I'm fine now. If DeSantis wants to wait, that's fine with me. If Trump wants to be the fall guy, that's fine with me because he cannot win. I've made that clear. A lot of people have made that clear. He keeps hemorrhaging support from the right. And so he can't win. And so at this point, I've gotten myself so resigned to the fact that we're going to lose that I just, why not let it be Trump? Just go ahead and just take the fall for us, Trump.
Because of cheating. Therein lies a huge problem too, because when you say that, then all these people will be like, well, I'm just going to stay home. I'm not why bother? And I get so angry about that because working in local Texas politics, I saw a lot of that. I saw so much of that, which some people are just like, okay, well then what's the point? What is the point? What is the point? What is the point? I'm just not going to do anything then. And, you know,
well, the point is obviously to vote for Congress. I mean, the system is not so broken that we still won the House, right? Like, so it's not so rigged that we still can't win elections. I still think it's important to go and vote. I'm just saying choosing Trump as a candidate, it's, you can't win with just his base. There's not enough of them. There's just not enough. And so I think it's better almost for DeSantis to sit back and not get into that fray and have a nice clear shot in 2028. I don't think the system is so broken that we can't win races because we obviously still are. And you know what I mean? But I'm just saying for the presidential race, I just don't think we have a prayer with Trump. I really don't. And so I know people are mad.
But you're saying that you don't think we have a chance with DeSantis either. You just don't think we have a chance, period.
Not in the presidential race. I don't. I really just don't.
See, I don't know about that. And that's the problem. I think if we do lose in 2024, and if you think it's so rigged that we will lose, then there's just no hope for this country at all. So I think that that's we're at a precipice, you know. I just really hope that you're wrong about that. I would love to be wrong. And I think a lot of it is a defeatist attitude. I do. I think I'm sad that you think that way. I really am. It breaks my heart that you think that way because I mean, I hope that we could do something about that. But I think a huge part of it is because there were a lot of people that did not come out. And I saw that because I saw it in the numbers here in Texas.
Yeah.
So many people did not come out. I mean, I think a lot of people said that they came out or they were, you know, oh, we're gung-ho, we're going to go out and we're going to vote. But I think a lot of people just did not participate in this election. People in general are not participating in elections anymore like they used to. They're not. They are just being complacent now because they just don't give a crap because they have lost hope, kind of like what you're saying. I think you're encapsulating what a lot of people are doing. You're saying,
well, except that I actually still go vote and I still will every single time.
Exactly. But when you project that, it doesn't matter. People are going to go, well, then it doesn't matter. And then they're not going to go vote. And so we can't do that. We can't just say it. This doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we're not going to win in 2024. And so we'll just wait until 20. We can't do that. It has to matter. We have to, everybody matters, and everybody has to get up and everybody has to vote. It absolutely 150% matters. And it matters so much more for Republicans to get off their butts and to get involved, not just vote, but you have to get involved in the process. You have to become a part of it. You have to get involved in your local politics. I mean, we all have to start doing that. Everybody here in the comment section has to start becoming involved. It's not just about voting. I mean, it's imperative that we do that for our children and our grandchildren. Everybody has to do that. Yeah.
I mean, you have no idea how much I want to be wrong about that. But if there are no changes, like at the head of the RNC, for example, if we don't turn this around, like really, really quickly, we have to turn it around. That's all there is to it. We have to turn it around.
Yeah.
And so I still hope that there's like a really healthy primary. Like I still want it to be Trump and a whole bunch of other people, right? And whether it's DeSantis or not, I mean, you know, I'm going to show up at the polls. And if it is DeSantis, if he's in the primary, man, I will be doing everything in my power to help do what, you know, to get people wound up and ready to go.
And one thing that I will stress, it's not just about the guy, you guys. It's not about the guy or the woman. It's not about the person. It's about conservatism. That is one thing that I try to stress. It's about, we talked about this on a podcast, some other guy's podcast the other day. It's about educating young people. It's one thing I see when I sit in these meetings. It's all a bunch of freaking old people. I mean, I know I'm old, okay? But when I sit in these Texas politics meetings, I sit in the back of the room and I look around, I scan the room, right? And it's old people. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I'm 51 years old. I'm going to be around for, you know, what, 20, 30 more years. And then bye. It's like, I don't know how much longer I have on this planet. But the thing is that these are not 19, 20, 30 year olds in this room. And that matters. We've got to get more young people involved in the Republican Party, in conservatism in general, which means that y'all got to talk to young people in your life every day about why it's important to be conservative every day. And don't be afraid to do it. Like when you're sitting at a dinner table, when you're out at a family function, in your family, it is every single day. We have to make sure that these people understand how important it is that history doesn't repeat itself. I mean, I can't stress that enough. It's so
Luke,
important.
Thank you. Luke sent a sticker saying, love you, ladies. Thank you for always keeping it real, or keeping it 100. Pray for us, y'all. Pray for the U.S., y'all, that we can pull it off. We need Jesus to take his country back, because we in danger, girls. For real, though.
Yeah, true.
Yes. And thank you, Pamela. Pamela says, never trust anyone to be as honest as you are. Never.
Yeah, because you know what? I lived in Georgia, and Georgia was red.
Yeah, remember that? I grew up
in Georgia, yeah. And so this is kind of weird, y'all. It's weird. Yeah,
it's super weird. You guys, the other night, my husband made Omaha Steaks, the bacon-wrapped fillets, and he used, I don't know if you guys know this, but with any Omaha Steaks order that you ever get, they include a thing of the seasoning, the Omaha Steaks seasoning with it.
Yep.
Use it. Like, always use it. Because when you add that special super something seasoning on top of already delicious. They were so good. I cannot even tell you. Like, now it makes me hungry already for steak right now. And I know we've been talking about Omaha Steaks. They've got the 50% off site-wide for all of their stuff at omahasteaks.com. And we've been saying that if you use code CHICKS at checkout, you get another $30 off. They've just upped it to 40. So, I mean, like, everything is 50% off the site already, but then when you use code CHICKS at checkout, you get another $40 off. So I don't know what you guys have planned for holiday dinners. Stock up. Even if you just need, you know, if maybe you're doing a turkey or something, you've already got it. Stock up on your sides, stock up on your desserts, because this is a good time to save big money at omahasteaks.com. Use code CHICKS at checkout for an extra $40 off.
That's what I got my mama for Christmas. She's very excited about it. She got it the other day. She's very excited. Also, we have a podcast coming out, a deep dive coming out this week.
It's out.
It's about Botox Gate. You guys need to check it out. I think that's what Candace is calling it. But it was, we were going to wait until this weekend, but it's very timely. So make sure you check it out. So I think Velen got it out early. And yeah. It's good stuff. So we talk about women screwing up their faces. Maybe if you use Botox, no offense, but we're talking about all the things. So you guys check that out. Botox Gate. It's very
the people important. That are saying I'm a closet Democrat, just seriously, what the F, right? Like, I mean, come on. I've only been doing this for 14 years, right?
Yeah.
Talking to conservatism for 14 years. I'm being honest about where my head is at right now. And I'm sorry that you disagree. That's okay. But don't freaking call me a Democrat just because I don't want Trump to be the guy. Okay.
I assure you she's not a Democrat.
Oh my God.
I assure you.
So dumb. All right. So now we have Kellyanne Conway, who also wanted to weigh in about what she thought might have been a contributing reason to why Herschel Walker didn't win. And this was a take that I had not considered. Here she is.
People saying we need a new message. Let me just say something respectfully to the 49 Republican senators. Where were most of you? Why weren't you in Georgia? Few of them were. But they all should have been, gentlemen, because they should have been there at in some form, a teletown hall in person, saying the following. I serve in the United States Senate with Raphael Warnock. He's a terrible senator. He doesn't represent Georgia. He's not fit to serve. He votes with Joe Biden. He voted for Inflation Reduction Act and doesn't do that. He said nothing when they pulled out of Afghanistan. He said nothing that Joe Biden's been to Delaware 174 days and down to the border 0 days. That's what needs to happen. Where were the other senators to say, I want Herschel Walker, not Raphael Warnock, in the Senate with me?
Do you think that would have helped?
I don't.
I don't either.
I know people are saying that she's correct, but I just don't. It wouldn't have mattered to me as a voter. I don't look at the other senators and be like, oh my God, that senator said to vote for so-and-so. So I'm totally going to vote for him now.
Right.
I just don't. It's kind of like I don't take celebrity endorsements and care what they have to say. I don't. And a bunch of stodgy senators, they're not going to change my mind. They're just not.
If anything, I think Lindsey being out on the trail with him so much was harmful.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a
ballroom dancer and he's a football player and he's great. You guys, he's going to be great. Yeah. It probably wasn't very helpful. It just seemed kind of odd. So
I don't think more senators would have been the answer at all.
No. Nope.
Now, of course, the left is like eating this up with a spoon and, you know, it's expected. And here is the point that Stephen Colbert made. But there is some light in this dark tunnel, you guys. So first, I'm just going to play this quick clip and then we'll talk about the light.
I don't know about y'all, how you're feeling, but I come to you tonight both gratified and terrified. Gratified because Raphael Warnock defeated Herschel Walker 51.4% to 48.6%. Come on! And terrified because 48.6% of Georgians looked at Herschel Walker and went, yeah, that guy should be U.S. Senator.
So, you know, it's the Fetterman excuse, right? Like look at Fetterman being chosen like, oh my God. But they were constantly compared to one another. Fetterman and Herschel Walker were like the worst of the worst on both sides, right?
Okay.
Fetterman unfortunately won. And you know, I get it. Colbert's going to be like, I can't believe that many people loved Herschel Walker, even though he was such a horrible, horrible candidate. The what it says to me, though, because Warnock outspent Herschel Walker by a factor of like a gajillion, right?
It was.
So much more money
insane.
Was spent. And the fact that Herschel came that close is freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And it says to me that Georgians, there were that many Georgians that knew that Herschel Walker was a terrible candidate and were willing to put him in the Senate because they were terrified of how awful Democrats are.
Yeah.
So to me, that was almost a positive. Like, I was like, okay, I'm surprised it was that close. I'm actually grateful it was that close considering the difference in spending, you know?
But he feels about Herschel the way that I feel about Beto in Texas. You know, it's like, why do so many people like Beto? Have you seen him? I don't understand that. Who are these people? Who are these people in my state of Texas that like Beto? I don't understand. Why? Why would you want this guy running the state? Like, who are you? And so I guess I have to try to understand his point of view, but okay. I mean, it's because they exist. I mean, these are, and then I wonder what's it going to be like the next time, because it's just that creep, you know, there's that, I don't know. What will it be? Will somebody,
well,
like,
we got to sort that out. I mean, that's what needs to change over these next 2 to 4 years, is that we have to play the organizing game better than the Democrats have played it.
Let's
think about if we had somebody in charge of the RNC who was able to raise money the way that Democrats did, and Herschel actually had an equal level checkbook, the results might have been different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. So that's why we need to get rid of Rana and just have new blood in the RNC leadership all the way across the board.
Yeah.
But to your point that you made earlier about people just being defeated and just feeling like it's all a lost cause, so I'm just going to stay home. Charlie Kirk, who has a much bigger audience than we do, I was super glad that he made this point also, because he also says, you know what, just because there's been shenanigans in the election system does not mean that you just sit back and let the death happen. You have to get out there and do your best and still push and fight and do all the things. So I thought this was a really good clip of him talking about that. Here it is.
See, it's interesting. I actually assumed incorrectly that if you take time to watch this program, thank you, that you would also just automatically vote. Turns out there's a fair portion of you that are completely done and that are willing to voice that opinion. Do we have that Laura Ingraham clip that we guys pulled? And I just want to say, I do sympathize with being upset with the Republican Party and not totally trusting the system, but not participating at all guarantees the other side to be able to play games. And if everything was broken and lost, how did we win the House of Representatives? If everything is broken and lost, how did Ron Johnson, who stood up against the pharmaceutical company, win in Wisconsin? If everything was broken and lost, how did Ron DeSantis win by 17 votes? How did we win the House by getting wins in California and New York? We won the House through Oregon, California, New York. I was in the movie 2000 Mules. I sympathize with all of the sentiment. Thoughts actually are not as important. You can have very angry thoughts towards the system. It is actions that I will instead address. You could say, oh, this system is corrupt. It's terrible. I'm going to go vote. Fine. You've done the right thing. You have not allowed your thoughts to manifest into what I would consider to be an immoral action. Someone says, Charlie, I thought you were kidding when you said people weren't voting until you read these emails. No, you should see. I'm reading them on air. And by the way, I'm tweeting out some of these emails so you could see them ourselves. The MAGA movement is committing suicide in front of our very eyes because of, and if you extrapolate that, that means there, and we see it in the numbers, we see it in the data, millions of people that have said we are no longer going to vote.
You can't do that. You cannot.
It's happening. It's happening though. I mean, it's happening everywhere. Like, you just look at the numbers, even in small towns and communities, and just the local aspect of it, the local numbers, like here in Texas, because I'm a precinct chair and I saw some that it's astounding how many people just choose not to vote. Because the area that I live in is primarily Republican. Mm-hmm. I live in a small rural town, and it's my voter rolls are primary. It's mostly Republican where I live. Which is nice. I like living around Republicans. I like it. And it's, yeah, there are a lot of people who didn't get out to vote. I mean, it's the people who do are Republican voters, mm-hmm. but for the, I mean, there are a lot of people who just don't get out to vote. You know, that's like the job is to get people to get out and go, you know, state how to do it, to exercise their civic duty. Right. Mm-hmm. That's the job. And when you see people not doing that, it breaks your heart because yeah. You're like, that's what that is your like God given right. Like you want to.
It doesn't just break my heart. It makes me furious.
Yeah.
That people are doing that or that they're thinking about. It makes me furious that people like there are some only Trumpers. Right. Who if it's not Trump, who's the nominee, they won't vote for whoever the Republican person is.
Right.
That makes me insane with rage because mm-hmm. It's just I'll vote for Trump if he's the nominee.
Right.
So play ball. Mm-hmm. Like we have to vote for the person who is not a psycho Democrat.
Yeah.
And so you
and then And then what we did, see is you'd see all these kids from Baylor University, what's here in Waco, right? Those kids, who do you think they're voting for, you guys? Like they would, those kids would bus in, or they, you know, they get groups would come in. Who the hell you think those kids are voting for? Like, just think, like, you know who they're voting for? Come on. Like, these are college kids. Yeah. They're college kids. It's like, we all know who they, and that's the thing. It's like, they may eventually turn a little bit more conservative as they get older, but when you're that age, come on, we all know who they're voting for. And so this is the thing. They vote, you know, they're fired up. Those kids, those 18 to 22 year olds fired up. Mm-hmm. And so this is how you lose elections. Yeah.
All right. Well, we have to talk about the fact that we're still waiting on a second big drop of the Twitter files in the Twitter files saga. So that's still a big, big story that's happening now, too, especially now that Elon Musk fired the attorney, the general counsel for Twitter, who apparently was going through and vetting all of the files before handing them over to Barry Weiss and Matt Taibbi. And so that was found out late in the game. That person, Jim Baker, who worked for the FBI. And when Elon found this out, he was like, what the hell? And so apparently Jim Baker's explanation for his vetting and possibly deleting some of the Twitter files was not, how did Elon put it? He said it was unconvincing, his explanations for that. So he was exited.
I love that so much. They just like walked his butt out of there.
They walked his butt out. And so now, finally, some of the other media news stations are starting to cover the story. And in fact, here is CNN talking about it. Look at this.
Files, new emails and documents reveal just how intense the debate inside Twitter in 2020 was, as the company went to great lengths to suppress a New York Post story about Hunter Biden and his laptop. That laptop contained a trove of personal and business emails that critics claimed were proof of corrupt activity by both Joe and Hunter Biden, and which Trump supporters say would have impacted the election if not censored. Well, the communications were obtained by writer Matt Taibbi. They show the internal debates over removing links to the story, labeling the story unsafe, and locking out accounts that tried to share the story. In one exchange, a top Twitter official says in part, quote, I'm struggling to understand the policy basis for marking this as unsafe. And the files show this, that at least one Democratic congressman tried to sound the alarm. Ro Khanna emailing Twitter's top lawyer at the time in part, and I quote, Ro Khanna, this seems a violation of the First Amendment principles. I say this as a total Biden partisan and convinced he didn't do anything wrong. But in the heat of a presidential campaign, restricting dissemination of newspaper articles, even if the New York Post is far right, seems like it will invite more backlash than it will do good.
And so she has Ro Khanna on. I got to say, props to him, man, because he was one of the only people, and a Democrat, no less, who was saying, this looks bad. This is bad. We shouldn't be doing this.
I mean, you wonder, like, was he afraid more of the backlash, or what did, was he, you know, you just, I don't know. I err on the side of like, I don't know, these people are all freaking shady, but, but I mean, I guess good. Yes. Good for him for sounding the alarm. Cause he could have just, everybody let it go. No, everybody's afraid to say anything. So yes, good for him for being like, this is kind of weird. I mean, this seems like a trouncing of our First Amendment rights. This is not okay. Like that. What the hell's going on? Yeah.
So I am on the edge of my seat waiting for the second drop. And even Jack Dorsey, which I was just like rolling my eyes so hard at, Jack Dorsey tweeted at Elon yesterday saying, stop like combing through all this stuff, just release it all and let the people decide what they think about it. Stop trying to like give it to a reporter over here or a reporter over there. Just let it out. And I'm thinking, you don't get to say that, Jack Dorsey.
No.
You don't get to act like you want the public to know all the ways of Twitter now.
Yeah. And I actually like the way he's doing it because I feel like it's neat to see that there are still reporters left who want to actually get the scoop and put it out there. I'm like, wow, these people still exist? That's so cool. I thought they were all dead and gone. I didn't even know those people were around anymore. So that's kind of neat to know that they're there. you know?
Well, and Elon did say, we are. We're going to release absolutely every last thing. And so hold your horses. Yeah. There's stuff that you didn't know about either, Jack. There was stuff that was being kept from you. And so that's how corrupt Twitter became. And Elon is cleaning house, and good on him for doing it. So we're gonna find out a lot more.
And that's not shocking, because at the end there, he was like sitting on his moss, you know.
Right.
Remember? He's like with the
people
beard.
Were probably like, should we tell him what's going on? No, he's on his moss.
He's sitting on his moss, praying to whatever God he's praying to. We don't know what he's doing out there. Yeah.
Well, and here's a little interesting tidbit I learned yesterday. Maybe this is news to you guys too. Tucker Carlson was friends with Hunter Biden, which I did not know.
I did not either.
So I thought this was so interesting. I caught this clip. It's Dana Perino asking Tucker about his friendship with Hunter. And I just thought that this was interesting background. Take a listen.
Start with Greg for a question for Tucker.
All right. I was going to ask you what's on your originals that's not on Fox. But I'm more interested in the fact that you've lived in D.C. for a long time. You had lived there. You ran into Hunter. You must have had some kind of interactions with him. How would you characterize him in your capacity?
Well, I knew him really well. And I always liked him. I mean, he's my neighbor and friend and had dinner with him a bunch. I mean, I knew him. We talked a lot about drinking. I don't drink. Mm-hmm. He was struggling with that. But in the background, I knew people who worked with him in his business that he was effectively selling access to his dad.
Yeah.
And I'll just be totally honest about it. I never really thought about it because I lived in D.C. for 35 years where people sell access to government officials. They're called lobbyists. And that's kind of the business of the city. And I never really thought, wow, that's kind of a crime, though. I knew, and I didn't know the extent of it, of course. But I remember someone who had worked with him saying to me, wow, he's getting really, really close to, you know, what you should not be doing because it's criminal. And it turns out, based on what we know now from the laptop, that it was absolutely criminal. And the reason we made this documentary was not to inform you that he was doing something wrong. Everyone knows that. It was to take a long-form piece and explain it and show on the screen exactly how we know this. It's not a partisan attack. It's not attacking the president's son. This guy shared a bank account with his dad. Well, his dad was the vice president. His dad was bringing him on trips, including to China. He was doing business with the people he met on those government trips and kicking back the money to his dad. That's not an allegation. That is shown on the laptop, which is why they suppressed it.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't know that about Tucker and Hunter.
Can you imagine them out to dinner, like having dinner and conversation? Can you imagine?
I cannot.
Like being a third wheel at that dinner, just chit-chatting about drinking. And right. Like, it's just so bizarre. I cannot imagine that.
I know. That was just crazy to me. And now I'm super anxious to go watch that documentary because I've got Fox Nation and I haven't watched that yet. Yeah. So I'm very, very interested to watch that. You guys, I know we've told you about Healthy Cell and their multivitamin gel packs before, but there's some new stuff going on right now and a new special that you have to know about ahead of the holidays. So first of all, think about giving the gift of health this year, right? Like you could actually treat someone that you love to a subscription to Healthy Cell products. And here's the cool thing is that right now it's buy one, get one 50% off. So when you use code CHICKS at healthycell.com, it's buy one, get one 50% off. You can do the multivitamins. You've got, if you need help sleeping, they've got their REM sleep formula. I think I've got, yeah, I do. Here's what the packet looks like. And you literally just tear off the top. It's just a delicious goo. It is absorbed 165% better than a tablet, pill, or capsule. And listen to this, you guys. In January, they've got two new products coming out. I'm super stoked about this. One that is for heart and vascular health that is strawberry flavored, which is one of my favorites. And this, because I'm super excited, obviously, about heart stuff. But then they have another one for joint relief and mobility.
I'm excited about that one.
Going to be orange flavored.
That one so, I'm stoked about. Yeah.
So excited. Mm-hmm. But if you're thinking about just a unique gift for somebody, that would be something really cool. HealthyCell.com/chicks. And then use code CHICKS for buy one, get one 50% off.
Yep. And make sure you're checking out our socials too. ChicksOnTheRight.com/links. That's where all of our stuff is. So go there.
Jacqueline, our commercials are not too long. They're why you're watching this show for free. And yeah. This makes me so angry when people say that, when we're talking about sponsors that we genuinely love and and want to share with people.
Right.
Do you email TV stations and say that about commercials? Because it makes me insane when people complain that we take literally 3 total minutes to talk about sponsors who make this show possible free.
And then like in a 45 to 60 minute show.
Yeah. Right. I mean, for crying out loud, give us a break already.
Yeah.
Moving on. Sad news, just to share with everybody, if you haven't heard about Celine Dion. So for people who love Celine Dion, and there are many of people who love her, she just announced on Instagram yesterday that she has stiff person syndrome.
Okay, I've never heard of this.
Rare. Very rare.
It's statue. You said statue person.
It's also known as statue person syndrome. Yeah. And it's when your muscles, it's a neurological disorder, and it's when your muscles become so rigid over time that you literally freeze. You become immobile, unable to talk. It's horrific. It's awful. And there's no cure. However, she is working with doctors to delay symptoms from progressing too quickly. It's just awful. It's so sad. And like her video about it is just like heartbreaking. She's crying. I mean, it's just so sad. Such an awful, awful disease, especially for someone, well, for anybody, you know what I mean? I shouldn't even say for especially someone who sings or whatever. It's awful for anybody. And it's so, so rare. But she announced that on her Instagram.
And she has one child, right? Isn't she? She has children.
I think, isn't there more than one?
I could
be wrong about that.
I know she has a child or children.
Yeah, like that's right.
She has reproduced. So there are children. I just can't, that, it would just be awful. Like,
I know.
Just what you're describing is awful. I can't.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It is. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
We also need to mention that Ted Cruz's daughter, I don't know if she's still in the hospital. She went to the hospital yesterday, I think, from self-inflicted knife wounds. And so she apparently is suicidal or super depressed and was trying to end her own life. And she, I guess last year, I didn't know this. I don't remember talking about this, but she came out as bisexual. I don't know if that contributes to her depression. Anyway, just prayers for that family because they're obviously going through some stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to comment on that. I just feel like there's that's just happening.
That's just happening.
And I know, all I know is that in the past we have talked about Heidi has gone through some stuff.
Yeah.
And then that family has gone through some stuff, and that is it. And that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. Now, speaking of celebrities, there's Jennifer Lawrence, who I'm generally a fan of her work. I think she's an amazing actress, and I liked the Hunger Games series. I was all about it. She is getting a lot of flack right now because she recently did an interview, I think with Variety.
It was.
Talking about how when she got the role in Hunger Games, it was somehow unbelievably groundbreaking, and that she apparently thinks she's the first woman who has ever had a lead in an action type of heroine role. And she's people are mad about
she's
that.
The first action female heroine.
God. Here is what she said about it.
I remember when I was doing Hunger Games, nobody had ever put a woman in the lead of an action movie because it wouldn't work. We were told. Girls and boys can both identify with a male lead, but boys cannot identify with a female lead.
Oh, absolutely.
And it just makes me so happy every single time I see a movie come out that just blows through every single one of those beliefs and proves that it is just a lie to keep certain people out of the movies.
Oh my God. So she's acting like Miss Trailblazer.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Because no one's ever done that before. Angelina Jolie, who did, she's over there going.
Sigourney Weaver.
Right.
Like, can you imagine? I want her to speak up and just be like, bitch, please.
I know all of them. All of the women before her, like women in the 80s and 90s who were like, what? Do you know that we.
Linda Hamilton?
Pam Grier in Foxy Brown. Yeah. Like all of in the 70s. Yeah,
right.
All of the
Linda Carter. Exactly, Elmo. Linda freaking Carter.
Linda Carter. Uma Thurman in Kill Bill? I think.
Yeah. Just for her to say that, and for Viola or whoever it was.
Oh my God, Linda Hamilton. Her. Linda Hamilton in the Terminator.
That's what I just said.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yeah,
she's. I was super. Like, but remember how buff she was?
Oh my God,
Demi Moore in G.I. Jane. Yeah.
It was just so narcissistic and unself-aware. And
oh my God,
wow.
I'm reading like so many, like there's like a gajillion comments coming in, like a gajillion. Like she's like that is narcissistic and self-aware. Like how could she say that with a straight face?
It's unbelievable.
It just shows you how completely self-absorbed these people are.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Incredible. They should give us advice on who to vote for.
Right. You know? They should do another black and white PSA.
Right. Exactly. And tell us what we should do with our constitutional rights and tell us who to vote for. And we should all listen to them. Totally.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. One more quick clip, because I guess it's the word of the year. You know how there's always a word of the year. There's a new, it's actually a phrase this time because it's two words. I had never heard this before these darling little British people announced it. And I love that they're British and they've got their super formal little accents going to talk about this new word of the year. And here it is for those of you who also haven't heard of it.
The Oxford English Dictionary have chosen their word of the year. And it's actually two words that sound like something out of Lord of the Rings. And they are goblin mode, which is a bit like what you sounded like this morning because you were working late last night on the Harry and Meghan documentary. The slang term describes a state of being that is, quote, unapologetically self-indulgent, lazy, slovenly, or greedy, like eating takeout in bed and not showering, behaviours that became popular during pandemic lockdowns.
These are, like, things that people have done forever, but we're just unapologetic about them now, isn't that the point?
Yeah, I mean, that's goblin like my mode. Life every day. That's literally me every day.
Bon. That
and I didn't know. I had no idea that was the name of it.
Totally you. Apparently, it's the first year that we've been able to vote ourselves on the Oxford like word of the year. There were three choices, and we as a people were able to vote ourselves, and that is what we wanted was goblin mode. Out of
I
there were like two other
that.
Things. I think last year the word of the year was vax.
Oh, that's right. That sounds right.
It was vax because we were so inundated with the word vax. And so, yeah, this year's goblin mode. There you go.
I'm constantly in it. I know that. I just did not realize that there was a whole term for it.
Goblin mode.
All right. So for your whack, someone sent us this follow-up story. And I am going to, you want to lead it or do you want to tell about before I show
it? I don't know if you guys remember, there's that whack chick that married a rag doll. It was probably about 6 months ago. It may have not even been six months ago. We talked about this chick who married a rag doll and they had a baby. Well, I'm sorry to announce that they're going to be splitting up because the rag doll cheated on her.
Here's the baby. There's a picture of the baby.
My God. Isn't this in like Argentina or Brazil or something? Where does she live?
Brazil.
So yeah. I think they're going to be divorcing because he apparently cheated on her. Now, how did she find out?
She found texts on his phone. You guys. And so she said that he went to a motel with another woman.
Right.
And that she found out through texts on his phone. And then at the very end of the article, my favorite part is when
this is your impression. You should just do it in the crazy lady's voice.
Mom. Well, I don't have a crazy lady voice. Yeah, it's just my voice. But she's very upset by anyone who would believe that this story is somehow fake, that she's making up any of this, you guys. And so she said, it really upsets me when people say this is fake. It makes me so angry. I am a woman of character. My father and my mother taught me to be honest, to be a good person, and to not want to take advantage of anything. That's what she said.
Jackie said that he left a yarn trail. And I think that's exactly what he did, Jackie. That bastard. That cheating, lying bastard.
It was
that
a
yarny bastard.
Oh, my God.
You know what she should do? Set him on fire. He'll go up just like that. That's what I would do.
By the way, he denies all the affair stuff. He denied it. And he cried when she accused him. He cried.
sure he did. Good Lord.
Oh my God.
So, Harley Kett said textiles on his phone. Textiles. Yeah.
So his story unraveled, says Debbie.
Yeah. I like what she did there. I like what she did.
Anyway, so that is a follow-up story, which doesn't often happen with Black, but today it was, that was the thing.
Enjoy that, you guys. Yeah, there you go. You're welcome.
Oh my God. All right. I know it's been, I know we've gone over time, and tomorrow when we're together, we have to talk about Chat GPT.
Yeah.
I've got a couple videos to share about that tomorrow. So we're going to get into that tomorrow. So don't miss tomorrow's show, whatever you do.
Oh my gosh, you guys, we're going to be doing a Sweeney Sisters dance tomorrow. It's going to be so great. So much to do today. So much happening today. You have a big day. I have a big day, and, I need coffee so bad. I haven't had Bone Frog. I've not been boned today.
You'll be boned at my house. Don't you worry. That's going to be saved as a soundbite from somebody. They're going to like save that. And they're going to put it out into the universe. Sid, they're going to be like, these girls are disgusting.
I feel like Sid is like, I'm on it. And he's like, he's now setting it to Pony. He's setting it to Pony. Bow.
Bow. Bow.
Yeah.
Bow.
Like right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys, hug. Bring it in. We're bringing it in right now. Everybody's bringing it in. It's Thursday today, right? Today's Thursday.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Everybody have the most amazing Thursday ever.
Amazing.
I implore you. I implore you all to have it. Have it. Okay? And we will talk to you tomorrow. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Hey, this is Todd Herman, host of The Todd Herman Show. You might have heard me on Rush Limbaugh's show as a regular fill-in for about 8 years. God rest Rush. I now do a show out of the high mountains of free America because, you know, I got exiled from Seattle. This is the second former high-ranking military official we've had on the program to say some pretty disturbing things. And I want to remind everybody, we cover heavy topics. We get to cover them. God protects us. We get to speak our minds. The fact that we know this is cause for celebration. Check out the Todd Herman Show every day on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.